Every Christ follower is issued a simple and yet profound invitation. It's an invitation to follow. However, this is not an invitation to follow blindly, because His footprints are there for you to see. Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. If you dare to accept the challenge to follow Jesus in His steps, you will join a long line of faithful followers who have gone before you, both within Fraser Church and around the world. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Day 11 of In His Steps. Today's title is Worship with Tears. A.W. Tozer said, "We must never rest until everything inside us worships God." Our text is found in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is that was touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which one of them will love him more? Simon answered, "Well, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to them, "You have judged rightly." Then turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table then began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." We have thus far learned about worship through wise men and Jesus' disciples. Today, we have an excellent pattern for praise found through a woman with a shady reputation. Luke refers to her as a woman of the city who was a sinner. In the eyes of society and the Pharisees, she was an outcast. But upon learning that Jesus was in the house, she came to worship him. Tabiti Ann Wiley helps us see this woman's worship of Jesus as if we were there in the Pharisee's house with Jesus. Put yourself in the place of the Pharisee. He's a religious man. He's serious about sin and holiness, morality and immorality. He doesn't have just anyone at his table. He's taking a risk having Jesus at his table because Jesus isn't like the Pharisees. But he's showing some level of hospitality. Then into his house, right up to his table, walks this woman all around town known as a sinner. Now, put yourself in the place of the woman. She lives in that city, and she knows what Pharisees are like. Religious men, often seen self-righteous, they make a big distinction between themselves and sinners. They always reject sinners as unworthy. But Jesus is in the Pharisee's home in her city where she can reach him. What courage must have taken for her to enter this Pharisee's home? What hope must have been in her heart when she gathered her most expensive possession, an alabaster flask of ointment? What brokenness must have rushed up in her heart and mind as she stood behind Jesus weeping? She knew she was a sinner better than anyone else did. There behind the Lord at his feet, she knelt in a pool of her own tears. Maybe she had planned to anoint his feet with the oil all along. Then she saw that the host had not washed the Savior's feet when she entered the home. Maybe she picked up on the minor insult, as washing a guest's feet was a common courtesy whenever anyone came into your home. Maybe she had been to homes and not been given this common courtesy and knew the insult. Or maybe she just loved Jesus. So she cried. So much so that she could wipe the Savior's feet with her tears. And she took her hair and wiped his feet. Then she kissed his feet in love and worship, and she anointed him with her oil. True worship can be costly. Mark's account of the same story uncovers the sacrifice involved in this woman's worship. As we see in Mark 14, verses 3 through 5, it says, "A woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, 'Why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' This was a day's wage for a common laborer. So she worshiped Jesus with almost a year's salary. 300 denarii today would be worth approximately $55,000. She brought something costly to Jesus because Jesus was worthy to be worshiped with something of great worth. However, the greatest example of her worship is not found simply in her sacrifice, but through her tears. She cried in his presence because she felt unworthy. She continued crying because God's grace allowed her to be at his feet. Shouldn't we all feel the same in his presence?" Some questions to consider today. When is the last time that you wept as you worshiped Jesus? Could you describe that experience? Why does worshiping Jesus involve complete surrender of your possessions and your emotions? What has worshiping Jesus cost you? Be blessed today, friends. We'll see you tomorrow.